We are continuing in our series this morning, Out From Under. And this morning is Out From Under Pressure. I think pressure is a pretty common experience for people. And I hope this morning is bringing you the text. And my biggest job, I think, is to make it applicable and something you can take home and use. I'd like to read for you out of Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 28. Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, in God's sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just, remain just, and be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. But what, by what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. How many people here like vacuuming?
Yes.
Lucky for us, right, Dave? How many in your home, how many women here do the vacuuming? Okay. How many men here do the vacuuming? Wow, two, three. Good for you guys. Fortunately for me, Dana raised her hand. One thing that I have spent time on, though, through the decades of buying vacuum cleaners, is repairing them. Because they, especially if you have a dog, but they always clog. And so through the years, I go, you know, you go to the Walmart or wherever you shop, and you look at all the vacuums. There's the Turbo 9000 on sale for $49.99. And you look at that thing, and it just looks like it's bulging with muscles, right? You know, or the Demon Dirt Killer, or, you know, all these powerful names, and they're really cheap. And they have the same air intake as the really expensive ones. It says right on there, you look, wow, look at the amp, the air intake, it's the same. But after you use it for a while, it gets clogged. Air balls, socks, I don't know what ends up in these things, but they get clogged. And I don't know about the rest of you, how many of you have taken them apart? Have anyone had to take apart? Yeah, okay, yeah, no fun, not your favorite thing to do. It's not that hard to take them apart, cleaning them's no fun. Putting them back together? Are you kidding me? I've never, not once, have been able to put a vacuum back together so that it worked the same. And then, we got a Dyson. Dysons are expensive, and they do clog. But putting those things back together is like putting Legos back together. It's made for it. The intake volume is incredible. By putting them together, That's what matters. It's a breeze. On your notes this morning, talks about the first quote I have is that God's power is going to take us apart and put us back together so we can breathe. What in the world was that talking about? A couple weeks ago, I was on my way to Gander Outdoor, now it used to be Gander Mountain, with a buddy of mine. And I've been hanging out with this guy for decades. And I know him pretty well. And there was this moment of silence, you know, a comfortable moment when you know someone really well in the car. And I heard him go, I'm like, all right, what's going on? I know what that means. Stress affects our breathing, doesn't it? The pressure of life, the things of life, it affects our air intake. Like, we can't breathe. We need to breathe. We need to get oxygen to the brain. Breathing's one of my favorite things. How about you? It's like top three, right? Brain, heart, breathe. We need air. But stress or pressure is like a big hairball in our vacuums, right? They don't suck air anymore. We're like, we feel it. It affects our sleep. Pressure comes in on us, and it comes in on every age group, from high school, junior high, to people in their 70s, 80s. I don't know about 90s, but I would imagine so. We like to breathe. Queen, I don't know who wrote it, Queen or David Bowie wrote a song called Under Pressure. Both, they both wrote together. They write, and this was a big hit in 1981, top of the charts. People can relate to this. Pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has more. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. Under pressure, that brings a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on the streets. Under pressure. You know, shut-ins, they can feel the pressure. Listening to their neighbors cut their grass feels like pressure to them sometimes because they wish they could do it. And they feel a little, maybe a little guilty, like they don't know how to return the favor. They feel that frustration, they can't do it anymore. Retired people feel pressure, wishing they maybe can get more done in the day. Wishing they had a better relationship maybe with their kids or their grandkids would visit them. Wishing they spent more time making more memories, maybe laughing more. Parents wishing maybe they didn't feed the kids fast food again. Feeling that pressure, that grass needs to be cut. The calls that need to be returned. The emails. The weeds, not just in the garden, in the sidewalk. It's everywhere. Students, well, for students, I think your pressure's behind you for a little while, right? You're done with school. But you still have decisions to make. How will you spend your summer? Where will you go to college? They pile up. And isn't the pressure squeezing us? What gets to us is the reason it squeezes us. Let me say it this way. The reason it squeezes us is that something inside us says, I'm not enough. Because if we're enough, then whatever we get done, well, that's what we get done. But we never feel like we're enough. Why do we feel like we're never measuring up? Why do we feel like maybe there's something in us that isn't up to snuff? The pressure pushing down on me is making it hard to breathe. God's power can take us apart and put us back together. So we can breathe. So, point one, we need God to take us apart. How do we let that happen? We have to let go. We need to let go of something. We need to take in the truth and let it change us. You know, Ephesians 6:14, which we did last week, parts of Ephesians 6, says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in the right place, the Greek says. What does the breastplate of righteousness cover? Major organs, right? Important organs you need to protect. The breastplate of righteousness is a big deal. Look at Romans 3:20 with me. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Oh, wow. Let that one sink in. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Look at your moral code. Look at your own obligations. Look at the things that pressure you, that squeeze you, like a python wrapping around your body. What is it? We're trying to measure up to someone. If it's not God, then ultimately, we might not be even conscious of it. It's God. We need to let God take us apart and look a little deeper at ourselves. What are the things that are squeezing us, that are pressuring us? What are the things that are clogging us up? Text says that no one can be made right by God by doing what the law commands. Well, what if we go to church 5 times a week, or study our Bible 3 hours a day, or give everything we own to the poor? We volunteer for every need that someone comes up to us and asks us to do. Is that going to make us enough? We're trying to put ourselves back together again like a cheap vacuum cleaner, and we still can't breathe because it's never enough. Let God take you apart. But now, Romans 3:21 says, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. But now, it reminds me of one of the things I hear Dana say occasionally. Once in a while, maybe some of you guys can relate to this, I dig myself in a hole. Have you done that? You meant it to compliment her clothes, but it just didn't come out right. Or a comment about the cleaning or the kitchen, and you're like, I can fix this. And you say something else. You're a little deeper. And you say something else. You're a little deeper. And Dana, with the compassion and not with like hostility, but she just looks at me and says, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Paul is saying here what God has done. God is looking at us and saying, are you done yet? Are you? Give it up. You need in your heart, in your soul, to be righteous before me. And I've done it for you. Through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, if you believe and trust that for your salvation, we'll take it all the way. You know, we believe that Jesus died for our sins and that we're made righteous in his sight. But then when we mess up, or we get involved in an ugly argument, or we say something we should have, or we sin, we don't feel it. It's like a hairball in the vacuum cleaner. It starts clogging us up. We don't feel the righteousness. We need to let God take us apart. Your hole you're digging is a hole, and we don't like this word, so forgive me, I'm just going to say it. It's a hole of self-righteousness. You're trying to make yourself righteous, and all you're going to do is run out of oxygen. You're going to run out of air. Paul wrote in verse 22 these beautiful words. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are, for everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard. What do we need? What do we really need? What does our heart leap for? You know, yesterday when we picked up my mom, we met my sister at, well, let's just say McDonald's. And it was okay. She said, meet me at the ABC store. So we met her there. And there was a McDonald's across the parking lot. But anyways, I walked up to the door, and there my mom sat. And I'm like, Mom, it's me. And she's like, she's eating her cheeseburger. I'm like, Mom, it's your son. She looks up. She goes, where's Dana? That's what she always says when she spends time, especially if Dana's traveling. She always says, "Where's Dana? Where's Dana?" She knows who's the good listener. She's the one knows who takes care of her and nurtures her and is a major blessing to her. Uh-oh, does she have something to say? What is this righteousness that we're provided with? What is it? It is larger and deeper than the oceans. It is more vast than the heavens. It can be seen when he confronted the Pharisees, when he loved the prostitutes and the tax collectors. It can be seen when he fed the 5,000 to the same crowd that would yell, "Crucify him," and he would know. It could be seen when he shared communion with his disciples, knowing that they would run away when he needed them the most. This righteousness can be seen when he was flogged, when he didn't have to be to die for our sins, just in case it would soften our hard hearts. The righteousness of God can be seen on the cross, in the nails, in Jesus taking the sins of the world upon himself. Doesn't your heart want to leap for that? That's what you wear. That's what you wear. That's what God sees when he sees you. Somebody who's not only perfect and pure, but somebody who loves, who perfectly confronts, who perfectly loves. So what's left for us to do? And in your insert, it's point two, right? God's righteousness is seen in Jesus. So what's left for us to do? What's left for us to do? Do we need to be more religious, more moral, more repentant? Maybe we need to confess more. We are the righteousness of God. God, help us to accept it and to wear the righteousness to protect us. Paul says in verse 27, "Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." God can take us apart. God can put us back together. Point three. And believe me, you're going to go through this cycle. I'm going to go through this cycle. And I'm going to struggle with it. I'm going to feel pressure sometimes on my way here on Sunday morning. Like, what about that sin in your life? You're not enough. What about your background? What about your insecurities? All this coming down on me. And when I can cling to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that's on me. I'm enough. God can use me here in your life. Even me. And you. The scripture says that God, verse 25, set forth a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Wow, who uses the word propitiation in their vocabulary? What in the world does that mean? So, let me turn it around for you. When God puts propitiation on you, your righteousness now is a legal matter that God, let's assume you want to reverse it. He's legally bound to see you as righteous. You are safe at home. Just like the Cubs game yesterday. You are safe at home. God is completely taking care of you. So how do we wear it? How do we put on the righteousness? A study's been done about, I don't want to bring up a political issue, so that is not my intention here, but about immigration. That immigrants who come over here, and all of us are immigrants, right? Right? Okay, some of you are looking like, uh-oh, or if you're going to go with this. Immigrants who come over here do really well. But the second generation, they struggle. They struggle to get their lives together, find jobs. Why is that? I submit to you that the first generation was driven by need. They had nothing. They were driven by need. You know what will teach us to change? You know what will empower us to change? Realizing that we have a need. There is no other options for us to have peace in this life. Do you want it? Do you want the righteousness? Do you want the stress? Or do you want the stress in your life that, quite frankly, is probably killing us more than anything else? May God help us not live our lives on measuring up. You know, it was Jesus who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Thank God. Look to Jesus. He is our righteousness.